The only reason why Superman would be a hero as opposed to a villain is because he grew up in America, because he overall stands for freedom and liberty and private property.
You know how Superman loves private property?
May as well just do the whole fucking bottle, right? So Ben Shapiro watched the new Superman movie. I've never actually done a video where I react to someone else's review of a movie, especially a right-wing pundit like Ben Shapiro, who I despise. But I said I would do it if enough people funded me to buy alcohol and to watch the movie a second time. So I've seen the movie now twice, which I'm almost positive is two more times than Ben Shapiro has seen it, because there's so much he gets wrong about the movie itself. It's so baffling. There have been a couple videos already of people debunking Ben Shapiro's political views of this film. I am not going to do that, mostly because I think it's pretty obvious where he's wrong, but if not, again, there are other videos about it. I am here instead because I'm a big fucking nerd, and I know a lot about comic book history. Ben Shapiro doesn't. So instead of debunking Ben's political takes on the film, I am just going to show you that Ben Shapiro is factually wrong about Superman and Superman's history and comic book history and, like, previous Superman films, just, like, in general. He just gets almost every piece of factually provable information wrong. So anyway, thanks for the alcohol. I don't even like sangria. Why did I buy this?
Alrighty, folks. So I watched the new Superman and I have many, many thoughts. This video is sponsored by Friends Over.
Bleep it. We're not sponsored by that company. We're sponsored by a different company in this video. Later on, he mentions how he hates the music in this new Superman movie. And I know that he's using it in the opening stinger here because it is the music from the movie he's reviewing. But, like, fucking come on, man. It's so good. Are you kidding me? It rips so hard, dude. Anyway, I don't like Ben Shapiro.
People are generally liking the movie. They think it's fun. They think it's kind of a kick. David Corden-Sweat is charming. He has good physical.
Oh, no. Oh, this is like gross AI. So, confession time. I looked up a lot of stuff about Ben Shapiro's review to debunk it in real time and, like, do my research and things like that. What I did was I ripped the YouTube captions because I don't like listening to Ben Shapiro talk, nor do I like looking at him. It's just, there's something about him. I don't like him. I don't think I'm the only one. But what that means is, even though I know the words he's going to say, this is my actual first time seeing the video. This sucks, dude. Oh, do you get it? David Corn Sweat. Here's an AI-generated sweaty piece of corn on a red carpet. Ha ha ha.
This is not a movie about illegal immigration, Israel, the Palestinians. There may be references there if you have politics on the brain. But other than that, I really don't think that there's that much of this there. That is not my overall.
Why does Ben Shapiro lean down and, like, he talks like this into the camera? It's almost to a point where, like, there are moments you can't even see his eyes through his brow because he's always just like, if you have politics on the brain, maybe you care about, maybe you see that in this movie. Maybe. I'm not going to cover the politics of this. All right. Everyone else has already done that. We're going to skip through this. Okay.
My overall problem with the movie is that you are taking the most iconic American IP of all time, Superman, which is to be treated with a certain level of respect. That doesn't mean it has to be, you know, grand mythology the way that Zack Snyder wants to do. My standard for Superman movies is 1978 Richard Donner.
I'm going to get into this later. I do not think Ben Shapiro has seen 1978's Superman. I think he's seen clips of it. I think he's seen a supercut of the best moments. I think he's seen probably, you know, like some flying scenes. I think he's seen like Superman saving Lois in the helicopter. I will prove to you that he has not seen this movie as we go on.
Overall, here is my problem. James Gunn is the wrong director, writer, creator for this thing. He's just wrong for it. It's Guardians of the Galaxy with Superman in it. It's visually overstuffed. In terms of plot, the plot holes are big enough to drive.
I also don't think Ben Shapiro knows what a plot hole is because he calls into question two plot holes later on in this review, and neither are plot holes, as I will discuss.
The very beginning of the movie, you are told that Superman is the most powerful metahuman, right? There's like a placard that says, 30 years ago, the metahumans arrived. 3 years ago, Superman emerged.
What is this fucking B-roll, dude? We'll see throughout. The editors suck shit, dude. Not like my editor, Julian. You're great.
You are told that Superman is the most powerful metahuman. And now 3 minutes ago, Superman's ass got kicked.
I'm not messing around. I'm doing important stuff.
He's not very super. He is not invulnerable. He gets his ass kicked routinely. He gets locked up in a prison with a character who's making kryptonite out of his hands.
Okay, Ben, hey, buddy, did you watch the movie? What do you mean Superman isn't super? It's not like he loses a fight with random thugs, Ben. Spoilers, by the way. I feel like I should have said spoilers for the movie up front in here. He fights a giant monster, fully succeeds. I mean, the Justice Gang steps in, not because Superman needed help. He was doing fine. He stops the rift from breaking apart Metropolis. He fights a clone of himself. He defeats people who are effectively killing him by suffocating him. Everything Superman does in this movie is super. He stops a building from collapsing. He like holds up a fucking building, Ben. What do you mean he's not super? What do you mean? Like, oh, he's not super because he gets sent to prison. He turned himself in. He didn't get captured, dude. Watch the fucking movie.
He's constantly in victim mode. Like, Green Lantern has much more success in this movie.
What did Green Lantern do in this movie that was more super than Superman? Give me an example, Ben. This is petty stuff. This is petty stuff. We haven't even gotten to the comic book history that Ben gets wrong. I'm just annoyed already. All right.
Ma and Pa Kent. In the original, they are noble and they are wise. They're kind of salt of the earth. Here, they're basically kind of, I don't know, like...
Come on, Ben.
Down-home types who don't seem to... They live in a kind of a crappy house. They're the kind of people who call the TV the box.
Yeah, Ben. This is so wild to me that Ben Shapiro is like, I don't know, Superman's parents are just sort of like... people? Ugh, gross. They're just like normal people. Ew. Yeah, dude. That's the whole point. I gotta stop yelling. It's 1:30 a.m. It's so wild that Ben can't fathom a normal person in rural America. That's all the Kents are. They're just normal people. And Ben is like, ew, these aren't noble people. Gross.
And by the way, both of them are alive in this, right? The original Superman mythos is that Pa Kent dies. And that's what sends Superman on his journey. Anyway.
Wrong! I'd like to call your attention to some slides I've made because I am a prepared person who knows my comic book history and has done my research. Before we even go to the comics, let me pull your attention over here to this article from comicmix.com. As this article states, and is obviously correct, I've double-checked it myself, as far as Action Comics number one, the first appearance of Superman, was concerned, the infant Superman was simply discovered by a passing motorist and dropped off at an orphanage. So the Kents weren't involved at all. So already, strike one, Ben. The original Superman mythos doesn't even involve the Kents at all, let alone the idea that Pa Kent dies and that's what spurs Clark Kent to become Superman. This is something that comes up a lot in the history of Superman. In fact, a lot of Superman's mythos not only was reworked a whole bunch, but was introduced not really in the comics at all. So the Superman radio show is responsible for a lot of Superman's mythos, from kryptonite to the names of certain prominent characters. But even in that show, it sidestepped the issue of Clark Kent's formative years altogether. Superman just comes to Earth a fully grown human man, not even a baby, which is weird. It actually wasn't until 1942's Superman novel, Adventures of Superman. Now, this is a very important novel. I kind of want to make a video about it because it is one of those pieces of transmedia for Superman that is a core component of his mythology, these concepts that would continue forward throughout Superman's legacy, you could say. So in this novel, again, not even a comic book, but this is the first time where Ma and Pa Kent, who weren't even named Martha and Jonathan Kent, this is the first time where we would see Pa Kent die. And that would sort of inspire Superman, Clark Kent, to become Superman. So then from here, we see in Superman number 53, this sort of similar deathbed origin of Clark's dad. His mother died first. That is the thing that happens a lot in these early Superman origins, is not necessarily the death of Pa Kent, but really just the death of his parents in general, with his mom dying first. Clark grew into manhood, his mother died, and then finally his father. And then that's when he says, you know, no man on earth has the amazing powers you have. You can use them to become a powerful force for good. And basically just says, you know, go become Superman. And he does. And we see him standing over both of his parents' graves and saying, you know, I will become Superman. This has appeared in other, as they've retold the origin of Superman before, in Action Comics number 158, for example, we have this similar deathbed scene here. This time, Clark has been a superhero already. So it wasn't the death of his dad, it wasn't the death of Pa Kent that caused Clark Kent to become Superman, but rather, he was already Superboy at this time. And his dad says, well, now just continue. Continue doing what you're doing. Continue being Superman. Superman's origin again is retold in Superman number 146. And yet again, we have another scene with Pa Kent on his deathbed. And again, we see in this same comic previously, he's already been Superboy. And then we get an extra special death. Because it was sort of left unclear in these comic books how exactly the Kents died. So we get the origin of their death, I suppose, in Superman number 161, featuring the last days of Ma and Pa Kent. It's sort of a complicated story, but basically what happens is they find some sort of like pirate treasure, and Superman like brings them back in time to dig it up, and they get some sort of horrible disease from the past that causes them to fall deathly ill. As we've already seen, he's already been a superhero. All of this to say, Ben is already wrong. It's not what Ben is saying here, which is that Pa Kent dies and that's what sends Superman on his journey. That's really not it at all. There's a lot of different origin stories for Superman, a lot of different interpretations around this. Superman was already going to be headed to Metropolis, either as Superboy or as Superman. His parents just also happened to die at that time, and they just sort of affirm that like he's doing the right thing. He should continue to be Superman. He should continue to be a superhero. At the very least, no matter how you spin it, I think we can all agree it wasn't in the original mythology because the Kents themselves were not in the original mythology. This is something you're gonna find a lot throughout this review. He's gonna say things like the original mythology. He's gonna say things like the classic comics, the classic stories. But I want you to notice throughout this video that Ben never specifies what that means. He doesn't talk about the specific comic books. He doesn't talk about the specific eras of comic books even. He doesn't bring to mind specific stories. Well, actually, he does bring to mind one specific story, which is the 1978 film. And that's what he centers all of his opinions of Superman around. Not the comics, not the radio show, not any sort of novelization, not any other TV show or cartoon from before the 1978 movie. His idea of Superman is what he's seen of the 1978 movie. But again, I don't think he's actually watched it, which we'll get into.
Crypto.
Be connect!
The Superdog is a terrible dog, is a dog that does not, like, an idiot dog.
God, this editing fucking sucks, dude.
Like, way worse than my dog, Happy. My dog, Happy, way better than this dog. And my dog makes trouble. This dog is a mess. Supergirl, who you get introduced.
All right. Can I just say, this is the thing that made me want to make this video. Ben Shapiro can get all of the history of Superman wrong that he wants, but he calls Crypto a bad dog. And he does it again later. I can't stand for that, all right? Crypto is the best dog in the world, and I love him so much, and also Ben is factually wrong about him. Let's dive into it, shall we? Ben has been so focused this whole time about the respect you need to have for Superman's mythology, for the original Superman stories, and how much you need to not be subversive with them. You need to pay them respect for how they were originally written. This movie portrays Crypto how he was originally written. Ben, I don't think you've read or watched any other media with Crypto in it. But if you did, it was probably the Crypto the Superdog TV show, which has a very catchy theme song, by the way. A lot of modern media does portray Crypto as sort of this like white lab, very well behaved. But Ben, You don't care about the modern media. The thing that you care about the most is paying respect to these original characters. In fact, I'll prove it to you right now. Let's go back to your review as you're talking about Supergirl and Crypto here.
Wait, my dog Happy way better than this dog, and my dog makes trouble. This dog is a mess. Supergirl, who you get introduced to for a hot second at the very end, Supergirl is a drunken teenage brat. Anything that you think you know about the Superman universe, James Gunn is determined to debunk in the first half hour of the film. I think that it's a betrayal of the original IP and mildly upsetting.
A betrayal, you say? Again, Ben, I know that the thing you care about is the original stories. Because you've read them, right? Because I don't have to get into the story of this comic, Crypto's first appearance in Adventure Comics number 210, to show that Crypto is kind of a menace, right? Superman says, oh no, Crypto thinks I'm playing a game with him. He's fetching back the safe I just left at Town Hall. So Crypto is effectively doing a bad thing here because he's just a rambunctious dog. That is how James Gunn portrays Crypto in this movie. Crypto is not a bad dog. He's a misbehaved dog who doesn't have a lot of good training. He's a dog. He's young. He's like a puppy. He's got energy. He's got superpowers. But Crypto's whole thing in this first comic is that he continues to do things that I think a regular spunky dog would do. It's just that this is a dog that happens to have superpowers. In fact, if I go ahead and skip to the very end of the first appearance of Crypto here, Superman says, Crypto, much as I love you, you spell trouble rather than fun for me. I wish I knew what to do with you. I'll have to sleep on it. Superman himself, or rather in this case, I believe Superboy, already knows Crypto is trouble. Crypto, in his first comic book appearance, the thing that you care so much about, the original IP that you care so much about, Ben, is trouble. Crypto is trouble. Well, considering he was such a big bother, I'm glad he's gone. Superboy says that about Crypto. What am I saying, Ben? You already know this. You care so much about Crypto and the original IP, as you keep saying, as you keep insisting. Who am I to tell you otherwise?
James Gunn is not capable of delving. He's just not. He's not capable of delving into a single character and examining his motivations and what's interesting about that character. He can't do it with Superman. He can't do it with Lois. He can't do it with Lex.
These characters felt so fleshed out. To me, they felt so three-dimensional. But again, these are just my opinions. I'm here to debunk you on the facts. So let's continue.
And so you end up with this sort of ADHD film where a bunch of things are going on at the same time, but you never get a good, interesting perspective on anybody who's in the film. So Green Lantern is there, and he's kind of just a schmuck, and he's there as comic relief. And then you have Mr. Terrific, who's the actual hero of the film, who you learn nothing about other than he's just kind of a noble do-gooder fellow.
What are you talking about? You learn nothing about him. Do you watch the movies you watch? I feel like I learned so much about him. He is one of the more three-dimensional characters in the film. Like, I don't have autism, but I've seen a lot of people with autism say how much they relate to Mr. Terrific, especially his line he says to Lois about how he doesn't do emotions, like he doesn't deal with people's emotions. I feel like that is pretty interesting about the character. I feel like I know so much about the character. Now, all right, here's the thing. Ben and I are talking about different things. Ben is talking about, I want information about the character. I want to know this character's backstory. I want to know this character's real name. I want to know this character's origin story. Whereas me, I'm like, I just want this character to feel real in this universe. And he does. And they all do. And that's enough.
And you have all these superheroes who are wandering around. You never get any information about them that makes them interesting or sympathetic or even particularly cool.
What do you mean they're not particularly cool? Again, I point you to Mr. Terrific, the most stoic character of the movie, given the most charismatic action scene. What a cool idea. It is like the definition of cool. You don't know anything about them. I feel like you know a lot about Guy Gardner and how egotistical he is. Ben wants a Wikipedia entry about the characters. He wants to know their real names and their backstories and their histories and who they like and who they don't like, and that's when he'll know that they feel real. I just want them to feel real in the universe, and they do, and I like them.
But you don't know the motivations of any of the villains except for Lex, who it turns out is just really kind of jealous of Superman because Superman has superpowers, and Lex is like, I'm really smart, and Superman is really strong, so why do people like Superman more than they like me? Which is a pretty boring motivation.
Hey, Ben, remember how you said you liked the 1978 Superman movie? Remember how I keep insisting that you've really only seen the movie in clip compilations. Is it possible you've never seen Lex Luthor pop up in any of those clip compilations? Because that's kind of like his whole deal, man. That's kind of like Lex Luthor's whole thing. Forever? Do you know what you're talking about?
Even the moments that are supposed to hit don't hit because there's so much going on in the background because James Gunn cannot control his ADHD. He just cannot.
I think he was pooping his brains out for the next 36 hours.
There's a scene where Clark and Lois, they've had a fight, and now they're back together, and they're having a talk. And it's supposed to be this very intimate talk where they're speaking with each other. And literally outside the window, Green Lantern and Mr. Terrific and Hawk Girl are fighting a gigantic sort of eye monster that looks like it's from Suicide Squad.
Stop it right there, Joker.
You never get me, Batman!
Will you catch up on?
Fucking, this editing sucks shit, dude.
It's extremely distracting because he's James Gunn and everything has to be some sort of dumb joke.
It's not a dumb joke, dude. It's world building.
Shouldn't Superman be doing something about it? No, let them handle it.
Yeah, bud! I have to explain this as calmly as possible because it is now 2 a.m. It is not an ADHD goofy joke in the background. In that scene where Superman and Lois are having a very heartfelt conversation. And in the background, the Justice Gang is fighting a dimensional imp. Should Superman be helping? Maybe, but he's not. And he knows, he sees it, and he realizes that they have it. So much of this movie, including this scene, is world building, Ben. It's showing that Metropolis faces threats like this constantly, daily even. So to have it going on in the background is to show you, the viewer, and me, I also viewed it, I actually watched it. You were just maybe there in the theater. I don't know if you like watched the movie, but you were there while it played. It's to show you that this sort of thing is so normal in Metropolis. There's a lot of scenes like that throughout the movie. There's a scene where a guy is just eating yogurt in a store while Superman fights the big monster, the fire-breathing monster. And he's just standing there eating yogurt, watching it happen. There are other citizens just standing by watching heroes fight. Because yeah, to you and me, a big monster destroying the city would be so novel and terrifying that we would run away. But scenes like that of just people watching it, it's like their entertainment to them. It's like it is literally like their Wednesday. And so having Superman and Lois have this heartfelt discussion, this really sincere discussion while something is going on in the background, yes, it is funny. There are funny moments within it, but it's not unnecessary. It is not just thrown in there for no reason. It has a purpose. This is what I mean when I say, did you actually watch the movie, Ben? I remind you that he calls this part of his review the analysis. He's not doing a very good job.
The plot itself makes very little sense. The plot is basically that Lex Luthor has decided that he is going to make a deal with a foreign politician, is going to invade another country, and Superman stops that invasion. Apparently, Lex wants to use this as an excuse to box up Superman, saying that he's running counter to American foreign policy. It turns out that what he really wants is to annex half of this separate country. He's going to split it with this other dictator. One major plot hole. Lex Luthor is obviously the smartest person in the film. So smart, he can create his own universes. It's a major plot point. And he is concerned about a relatively small piece of land occupied by third worlders. This is his big plan.
Hey, Ben, just checking in again. You definitely did watch the 1978 Superman movie that you claim to love so much, right? You definitely did watch it. The movie where Lex Luthor wants land. The Superman movie you think is the best one. Not like this one. This one is bad because the plot is basically that Lex Luthor wants land. And that's bad. But the 1978 one where Lex Luthor wants land, now that's the best one. And you watched that one, right? Ben Shapiro has never watched the 1978 Superman movie, because if he did, he would know that the main thing that Lex Luthor wants is land. That is the thing that Lex Luthor wants always in these movies, whether it be Superman Returns.
Land, Miss Lane.
Whether it be the original 1978 movie.
Lex, what is this obsession with real estate? All the time, land, land, land.
Lex Luthor wants land. Something I think that Ben misses here, specifically about this movie, that I find really interesting, is that there are many reasons why Lex Luthor is doing what he's doing. He's mostly doing it because he hates Superman. The land part is a separate part of it, right? Lex says so himself. He says he didn't try to destroy Superman so that he could have this new country of his own. Rather, he started the war between Barovia and Jarnpur so that he could have the authority to kill Superman. So the land is sort of separate. It's actually more separate in this movie than it has been in all the other movies, including the one that Ben Shapiro definitely watched and thinks is the best one. But what I love about this movie, and it's such a small detail, I wouldn't blame you if you missed it. Superman gets a message from his biological parents. We love you more than heaven, more than land. That's such a specific line. And I think it's so good and so clever and so smart because, you know, a literal interpretation of that line is basically Jor-El saying, we want you to live, we don't care where. We love you more than heaven, more than land. We just want you to live, we don't care if it's on Krypton. In contrast to Lex Luthor, who throughout his film history has been this real estate mogul who cares about land and making money off of land and owning land, which, by the way, Superman's one of his original enemies in the comic books was fighting corrupt landlords. That's interesting. But what I think is even more interesting here is this idea that Lex Luthor sees the planet Earth, and what he really sees is the land and its resources, whereas Superman sees the planet Earth, and what he really sees is the people on it. And it's so cool that you have these two characters that diametrically opposed in so many ways. And it's so interesting for any movie to engage in that, not just this one, but of course the previous ones as well, including the 1978 Superman movie. Lex sees the land and its resources, Superman sees the people on it. And I think that's a really cool thing that stories and comics and movies keep doing. And it's just really fucking funny that Ben doesn't get it. It's just so, he's so close. He's so close to getting it. Ben, please, I beg of you, watch a movie.
And then he jails him and then he leaves him alive and explains the secondary plan that apparently was his primary plan, sort of. But he doesn't kill Superman at the time for a reason that remains undisclosed.
Ben, it's not undisclosed. Once again, I'm asking, did you watch the movie? No, look, I don't blame you. You probably saw it once and got confused, and that's okay. I forgive you, Ben, for missing the spoken out loud line that Lex says to Superman when he imprisons Superman, where Lex says, if I had it my way, I would kill you right now, but the government has questions for you. It's why, following that, there's an interrogation scene where Lex kills a civilian of Metropolis to try and get information out of Superman. I'm begging you so much to just watch the movie.
You have multiple scenes of giant heavy objects falling on Superman and Superman stopping the giant heavy objects from falling to save an individual. Again, another plot hole. You'll have giant building.
I don't think he knows what a plot hole is. Let's listen in to what he's saying here, okay?
The entire building will fall, and he will stop the building from falling to save one person or a chipmunk who is in the way. But it's an entire building full of people, so presumably all those...
It is not an entire building full of people, Ben. I once again implore you to watch the movie. There was a mandatory evacuation in Metropolis, and you saw in the film masses of citizens fleeing from Metropolis. That car that Superman saves from that falling building is the last person leaving Metropolis. The building has no people in it. And I know you, Ben, you're going to say things like, well, that's very implausible that everyone would believe. If you're going to have a suspension of disbelief that a man can fly, which I know you have because you've seen the 1978 film and that's sort of this whole tagline that you will believe a man can fly. And you love that film and you've definitely seen it. If you can have a suspension of disbelief that monsters and superheroes exist in this universe, you can probably suspend your disbelief that everyone in Metropolis would evacuate, especially when you see, again, you see everyone evacuating Metropolis. You saw it, right? You saw the movie?
The music, again, I'm... John Williams is still alive. Just hire him to do your Superman movie, you stupid... Just stop it.
Get some help.
I get very exercised. This is the only thing that really exercises me about this. John Williams, his original Superman score is one of the great scores in all of movie history. It is a phenomenal score, beginning to end. It may be John Williams' best score. I love that score so much. It is a great, great score. It is magic. And what do? They take the original theme and they play a few notes from it because it's so iconic. And then they underscore it with nothing, with like a pedal tone. It sucks. The music is awful. The score is terrible. Just play the original score.
I'm sorry that you are like the one person on the planet that has not heard the new Superman score and is not immediately like transcended to Valhalla. Like, it is so big and powerful and emotional.
It's magic, man.
And I'm not gonna argue with you here, Ben. The original John Williams is extremely good. It is also magic. It used to be genuinely my alarm. I used to wake up to the Superman theme song when I was in high school because I'm a big fucking nerd. So as a person who has listened to it almost every day in my most formative years, it's still very good. This one, also very good. I don't have to rank which one is better than the other. They're both just really good. It's just building off of the original in very great ways. But anyway, that's an opinion thing.
James Gunn's politics is so ham-handed, like truly ham-handed, where Clark, he's being arrested, and he says, "Aren't you going to read me my rights?" And one of the members of the government says, "Well, you're now considered an enemy alien, right? You don't have any rights because you're not an American." All right.
Fucking stop with this AI slop, dude. It's so bad.
If that's supposed to be some sort of like anti-ICE sentiment.
Can you not think? He complains about James Gunn's ADHD editing style. And he's like, "All right, I'm talking about ICE. I'm talking about the government agency ICE. So I have to cut away to something." I, as Ben Shapiro, can't actually cut to real footage of ICE doing things that are truly heinous. So what I have to do instead is show just stock footage of melting ICE. What a fucking clown, dude.
It's really weak. Also, legally incredibly stupid, considering that he came to Earth as a baby and then was adopted by an American family, which would make him American.
That was meant for the babies of slaves. It wasn't meant for people trying to scam the system and come into the country on a vacation.
I'm not messing around. I'm doing important stuff.
There was a suggestion that he says truth, justice, in the human way. I didn't catch that anywhere in the film.
No, he doesn't say that. I watched it twice. Superman doesn't say that.
The people of Jarhampur are brown.
Look at my African-American over here.
The people of Bravia are...
We'll get to my last big debunk of Ben Shapiro soon, but how in the fucking world can you complain about James Gunn's ADHD editing when this is your fucking editing, dude? Unbelievable. And look, I'm not saying my editing's any better. Julian, make it real ADHD right now. Make it just so ADHD, make it wild and crazy and fun. Whoops, now I'm But at the very least, I don't complain about other people's editing for being ADHD. It's fine. I just complain about your editing, Ben, because you're complaining about other people's editing.
They're led by a corrupt dictatorship that murders Israel. Any of the facts. That's
care.
How it reads?
I don't care. Baby? I don't care.
You could also read this as Russia-Ukraine because it's one accent. So that's invading another sovereign country
shit.
And because the leader of Bravia has a Russian accent. This brings me to my final point about this movie and all other Superman
Hit
movies.
It, Ben.
The fundamental flaw in all Superman movies of my lifetime is the thing that Hollywood cannot say and will not do.
Politics. Does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff?
This is actually a really important part.
The only Superman movie that I have ever seen that uses truth, justice, and the American way is the original 1978 Superman.
You're so close to getting it, Ben.
I'm here to fight for truth and justice in the American way.
This is not just a throwaway line. It is deeply important to the character of Superman.
I want to address this whole section that Ben is saying here about like truth, justice, and the American way. I've got a whole fucking bit of research about this. This comes from supermanhomepage.com, but it's also just like, maybe it's just the spaces that I run in, but this is pretty common knowledge that Superman didn't initially stand for truth, justice, and the American way. Superman was a champion of the oppressed. That was like his original tagline, champion of the oppressed. Later, he would stand for truth and justice, right? The American way, as we see here, was introduced on the 1940s Superman radio series during World War II, but it was removed once the war was over. The Fleischer animated cartoons only used truth and justice. The 1948 serial starring Kirk Allen had Pa Kent to tell Clark that he needs to use his powers in interest of truth, tolerance, and justice. What do you think about that one, Ben? I'm curious about what your thoughts about truth, tolerance, and justice, Ben. The 1950s Adventures of Superman TV show starring George Reeves said that Superman stands for truth, justice, and the American way. So that was once again used. All right. But again, in the 1966 New Adventures of Superman cartoon, the motto which changed once again to truth, justice, and freedom. And then in the 1970s Super Friends cartoon, Superman used the slogan truth, justice, and peace for all mankind. And then, once again, we have Ben's one and only thing, the thing he keeps going back to whenever he's talking about the classic stories of Superman, which is the 1978 Richard Donner film, Superman the Movie, where Superman says, "Truth, justice, and the American way." And that's where people got it from. I would like to remind you that this is 40 fucking years after the character was introduced. To say that it is like the core element of Superman, that it is what he is, that it's what he represents, that is such a integral part of the character, is just wrong. It's just factually wrong. It's historically wrong. And even after this movie, it changes. You know, the Lois and Clark TV series with noted conservative shitbag Dean Cain, he only ever said truth and justice, not the American way. And it is not until recently when Superman's motto has changed to truth, justice, and a better tomorrow, which, to be frank, I think fits really well. Superman, one of his nicknames is the Man of Tomorrow. And you could argue that, oh, they're just like, everyone's so woke now, and they changed it from the American way, truth, justice, and the American way. But I want to remind you that it took a while for Superman to get truth, justice, and the American way.
This is not just a throwaway line. It is deeply important to the character of Superman. Why? Well, because take Superman just as a character. Superman is unbelievably powerful, unstoppable. He's faster than anyone. He's stronger than anyone, right? He's basically a god on Earth and the biggest god. He's Zeus, right? He can do whatever he wants. And so why is he the good guy? Why isn't Lex Luthor right? Because let's be real. If there were a person on Earth who actually had those powers, Americans would rightly be very much afraid of that. Correctly. As Federalist 51 suggests, you need ambition to counteract ambition. If any one person had ultimate power, what you're really talking about is a philosopher king. And that's pretty scary because that person could be a dictator, simply doing whatever they want to the world. The only reason why Superman would be a hero as opposed to a villain is because he grew up in America, because he has the American way, right? He's emblematic of what America is. May blunder, may make mistakes, but overall stands for freedom and liberty. And private property.
You know how you've seen all those Superman comic books where he stands for private property? You know how in the 1978 Superman movie that Ben Shapiro has definitely seen, you know how he stands for private property in that movie? You know how Superman loves private property?
And free speech and all of those things.
All that stuff.
Right, all the good American stuff. There's a great comic book called Superman Red.
I fucking love this. Hold on. You're not gonna...
There's a great comic book called Superman Red Sun. It's an alternative universe in which Superman's capsule from Krypton lands in Soviet Russia. And he grows up as the emblem of Soviet Russia. And he's evil.
Tell me you haven't read Superman Red Sun without telling me you haven't read Superman Red Sun. Holy shit. Did you get two important things wrong about the premise of the comic? You got two things wrong in one sentence. Holy shit, Ben. If you haven't read Superman Red Sun, like Ben Shapiro hasn't, it is not about Superman being evil. Superman does not land in Soviet Russia. He lands in Ukraine, the farmlands of Ukraine. And he's not evil. He's just communist. And I know that that is a thing that Ben Shapiro thinks is one and the same. But it's not. Because if you read the comic book, you would see the book isn't about what if Superman was evil. It's not about that. Before I continue talking about it, let's actually see what Ben thinks about this comic book that he's definitely read.
Lands in Soviet Russia, and he grows up as the emblem of Soviet Russia, and he's evil because he grew up in Soviet Russia. Because if you give that power, that amount of power, to an evil ideology, then evil ensues.
I know Ben Shapiro thinks that being communist is the same as being evil. That's not actually the case in the comic book itself. The book isn't about what if Superman was communist and therefore became evil because of his communist ideology. The book is about, and it's very nuanced, and I'm very drunk, but the book is a very nuanced take on both communism, specifically Soviet-era communism, and American capitalism. Yeah, Ben, Superman Red Sun, a book that you love, a book that you think is great, is also a critique of American capitalism. Interesting. The book is about the very common concept that we've all heard of before, which is absolute power corrupts absolutely. It happens to Superman. It happens to Lex as well. Lex Luthor, who's in America. And the funny thing is, Ben, at the end of the comic that you've read, because you like it, right? I believe your exact words were, it's a great comic book. At the end of the comic book, you realize that Superman has never been evil, was not evil this entire time, unlike the thing that you said. Rather, Superman was being manipulated. Spoilers. He's manipulated by Brainiac into trying to take control of the whole Earth. Now, you read the story, and guess what? You'll find that Superman detests bloodshed. He doesn't want innocent people being hurt. He doesn't like invading other countries. He just likes to challenge people to debates. A thing that I believe you are very also fond of, Ben. It's not Superman was raised in a communist ideology, therefore he's evil. That's not what the book is about. That's not even literally what happens in the book. Ben, Superman is even reluctant to have any power, any authority over people. Does he make bad decisions? Absolutely. He doesn't make these evil decisions, quote unquote evil decisions, because he's communist. He makes these decisions because he's being manipulated by Brainiac, someone who's not communist or even capitalist for that matter. He's just a fucking evil alien. I would encourage people, including Ben Shapiro, to read Superman Red Son. What tipped me off that Ben has never read it is the fact that he likes it, because I guarantee you if he actually read it, he wouldn't like it very much at all.
And so what they come away with in kind of the key moment in this movie, for example, is Pa Kent telling Clark that parents don't make missions for their kids, right? They don't make their kids kind of what they are in terms of what they should be. They give kids the tools to choose what they want to be, and then those choices make those kids what they are. Okay, that's kind of half true and half not. Of course.
No, fucking Ben. Oh my God. Does Ben Shapiro have kids? I fucking hope not, dude. He probably does. Jesus Christ. I'm gonna be a parent someday. Support me on Patreon. I walked away, and a lot of my friends who are already parents walked away from this movie thinking that that was one of the most beautiful things in the entire film, is this idea that parents don't instruct kids, their children, on what to do. They don't dictate the lives that their children leave. They give them the tools to have the successes and also to have the failures, you know, to make their own way in the world, to be their authentic selves. And that's just awesome, man. And it's so ghoulish that Ben thinks that such simple line is something worth fighting about.
But you also try to define the mission your kids should have in life. That's maybe the most important thing you do as a parent. Direct them in a world of choices, at what is the ultimate good? What is the ultimate goal? Hollywood is not run by people who believe that there is such a thing as an ultimate good or an ultimate goal. It's run by moral relativists who have a kind of, at best, soft-pedaled, generic, be nice attitude toward the world, which is why Superman's defense of intervening in this foreign conflict is,
people were going to die.
Okay, well, people would die on the other side, presumably, if you didn't intervene. Or people die every day in conflicts all over the world. Right? The reason that Clark or Superman is supposed to intervene is because one side is right and one side is wrong.
Yeah, Ben, you almost got it right. The side doing genocide is wrong, and the side not doing genocide and just trying to defend themselves is right. And that's why Superman stood up for them, is because he did see that there was a right and wrong, and that the one doing the genocide was wrong.
The central question of Superman has never really been handled by any movie, and it's certainly not handled here. Which is, why should one person be given this much power? And the answer is, he shouldn't, unless he is essentially just a metaphor for what makes America awesome.
This sucks so much, dude. Ben is literally saying the only people that should be given so much power as Superman is America. And he's not defending that point at all. He just thinks that it's self-evident that America is good, wholly good, purely good, and we're the ones that need the most power. And he's not defending that. He's not giving any evidence. He's not giving any arguments for it. He's just presuming that it is self-evident that America is the best.
Which is what Superman was designed to be. This is why Superman in the original comics is punching Hitler.
False again. Original comics, punching Hitler? No, Ben. That didn't happen until well after Superman premiered. He did not punch Hitler in the original comics. And even when he did, this was at a time in American history when most Americans were not in favor of that. When Superman did this, it was before Captain America premiered. And when Captain America premiered on the first issue, punching Hitler, even then most Americans were in such staunch disagreement that we should be intervening in the war at all in World War II. So this idea that Superman is representing Americans. That was not the American ideals at the time. That was not the American beliefs at the time. Most Americans wanted to not be involved in the war. Most Americans at the time were so against it that when comic books like this one came out, authors like Jack Kirby and Joe Simon and Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, all of these creators, these comic book creators who were creating these stories that you literally have on screen right now, were getting hate mail. We're getting fucking death threats because in the actual minds of Americans, Superman doing this that's on screen in your video was not something that America should do. Your analysis is wrong. It's historically wrong.
So my overall review, 2 out of 5 stars. Meh. I think that the stars do their best with bad material given to them by James Gunn.
The worms going in through the mouth and helping him as he's sobbing. And, you know, he was it's kneeling at the end of the bed, and I was on the other side of the bed for that whole time.
Good job by David Corenswet. Good job by Rachel Brosnahan. Good job by Nicholas Holt. Good job by Eddie Gathegi as Mr. Terrific. But, you know, Superman, as I say, super meh.
So cool, dude.
So, like I say, this review by Ben Shapiro is bad, and I've demonstrated the evidence and calculated the results about why it's bad, and I've shown you the historical revisionism that Ben Shapiro has done with the Superman character, and I think it speaks for itself that Ben Shapiro is not to be trusted with anything. Anything. I don't think he's knowledgeable about anything that he talks about. And I don't think that's news either. I think most people know that.
Look, at the end of the day, Ben Shapiro knows that he's wrong about Superman. We all know that he's wrong about Superman. The comment section of his own video knows that he's wrong about Superman. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about getting those beautiful clicks and watching the numbers go up. And I get that. I need money. I'm out of alcohol. I don't really have a grander point to what I'm trying to say here. I just think it's interesting as someone who, this is my first time doing a sort of reaction video like this to a right-wing pundit like Ben Shapiro. I find him infuriating as someone who is very knowledgeable in comic book history, who has done my research. It's frustrating that Ben's video is going to get more views than this one. It's just frustrating. I hesitate throughout this video to call Ben Shapiro like stupid or dumb, because I do think he knows what he's doing. I also don't think those are particularly useful terms. I just think Ben Shapiro is deeply incurious. He is not curious about the stuff that he's talking about to look up any information about it. He comes into this with his preconceived notions of history, with his preconceived notion of comic books that he hasn't read. And rather than read them and rather than look them up, he just sits down and films a video like this to get views and to get clicks and not to spread accurate information. He is just very insincere and, like I say, very incurious.
Like, okay, this has been bothering me since I recorded that video. There's a reason why I tell you all at the end of all of my videos to explore the world through curiosity and vulnerability. Curiosity being the key point here. Being a curious, self-motivated learner means more than just watching a supercut of Christopher Reeve's best scenes and assuming you understand the whole movie, let alone the entirety of a character's history. Yeah, I know for me that I want to thoroughly understand the things that I talk about in my videos, especially the topics that are new to me. And yeah, that can be challenging sometimes. So challenge yourself. And the best way that I challenge myself to constantly keep learning is with a tool that makes learning feel like a daily adventure. You've heard me talk about it before. It's this video's sponsor, Brilliant. Brilliant helps you become a better thinker and problem solver with thousands of visual interactive lessons in math, science, programming, and data analysis. What makes Brilliant special is how it teaches you. Instead of just watching videos, you actually work through problems and play with ideas hands-on. This way of learning sticks with you much more than passive watching. Honestly, it keeps me coming back because Brilliant makes learning feel like solving fun problems rather than just like studying. They've got this incredible team behind their content too, experts from places like Stanford, MIT, Caltech, Microsoft, and Google who really know their stuff. So while you're gaining real knowledge on specific topics, you're also becoming a better thinker. This is a true story. Brilliant's growing collection of programming courses helped me code specific, bespoke scripts for my editing software. Like this one here that exports all my timeline markers as a spreadsheet, which has been incredibly handy. Brilliant helped me learn Python for this. And beyond specific programming languages, you'll develop an intuition for computer logic, get hands-on experiences with real programs, and learn to think like a programmer. To learn on Brilliant for free, just go to brilliant.org/nerdsync, scan the QR code on screen, or click the link in the description. Brilliant's also giving my viewers 20% off an annual premium subscription, which gives you unlimited daily access to everything on Brilliant. Staying curious and learning even a little bit every day is one of the most important things you can do for your personal and professional growth. And Brilliant keeps you on track for reaching your learning goals one day at a time.
But regardless, I hope you liked this video. Thank you so much for watching. My name is Scott, reminding you to examine your favorite art through curiosity and vulnerability. See ya.